about Jesus, which is the focus, is the purpose, is the reason and the rationale why we gather together. I've been so excited over these past few weeks, these past few months, as God has been developing and working and growing in my life and showing me what he wants for me personally. You've probably noticed one of the panels on your bulletin, it would be the back of the way that it's originally folded, is a, I call it a PB or PV and J. It's purpose, vision, and journey. So you can think about it this way, PV and J. And it's just so simple. I absolutely love this because you, as the Fairview Church, as we are developing and growing in a culture that is understanding and knowing, and not just understanding and knowing, but assuming the responsibility to be salt and light in the world that we live. We need to know who our purpose is, which is Jesus. We need to know what the vision is, and that's others. We are here to through the glory and the goodness of God, to reach out to others. And the journey is that growth, that personal development that we together are working on in this journey as the Fairview Church, those of us who gather here. So you can just read that each week. It changes every week. And so don't look at the heading and just go, I've read that before, because each week that little caption, that little segment changes. But we are here today to talk about Jesus, who is the subject. Now, we know that our national office, Pastor Jim Lyon, coined that phrase as he went as our general director, and it's swept. This actually, this little tag that you see on the board is actually a tag that was created by a local Washington Church of God pastor. And I thought, that's awesome. I was able to grab that for you to see. But Jesus really, truly is my passion. Pastor Joe and I, like I said a few weeks ago, are on this journey that he has put us on simultaneously together. And so it's created some amazing conversations where we, you know, we're just talking all the time about what Jesus is, what he means, his direction, his directive, and what we want him to be in the ministry at Fairview. As we begin today, I want to look at a passage of scripture out of the book of John, the fourth chapter. I want to just look with you at verses 25 and 26. Now, that inside of your bulletin, remember, the inside of your bulletin is all mission. The outside, that thing that you see when you come in, that's ministry. But we are creating that culture. Again, let me just say it again. We are seeking a culture at Fairview that places mission over ministry. We are seeking that ministry supports mission, not that we're creating a mission around who we are. We want to be about the mission of Jesus Christ and all of the ministry to support that. So as we're looking at this text this morning, we find it says this, so you can read along either in your hard copy, on your digital, on your device, or on the screen. This is the NIV. Verse 25, it says, "The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he." If we're going to understand Jesus in his fullness, we have to get back to that very first thing that Pastor Dan brought to us this morning on that bulletin cover. We need to embrace him with our heart, with our head, and with our hands. If we are going to experience him, this is going to be something that you must engage in, that you must pour your life into, that you must dedicate yourself to. You're not going to just get to know him. You're not going to just get to be what he has called you to be just by getting a splash here or there on Sunday morning. You must engage. That's why your Lifestyle 7 is in that bulletin, so that over this next week, you together with us can engage in this scripture. Let me just encourage you, just a side note. Take the fourth chapter of the book of John this week and every day read the entire chapter. You'll find some amazing things, like Jesus was getting blamed for baptizing the disciples in the early church. And Jesus, as he went on this journey in chapter 4, it wasn't Jesus that was baptizing. It was the disciples who was baptizing. For me, it began to click, the beginning and the end. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he's having his disciples baptize other disciples as they were coming to know him. As he ascended, his message, the ascension was, go into all nations, teaching, preaching, converting them to the gospel, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. And as we begin to immerse ourselves in Scripture, things will begin to click. Lights will begin to come on. You will have stories to tell. You will have things to say. God will fill not only your heart, but your mouth and your hands with things that go out into this world and turn themselves into salt and light, so that you are the God colors and the God flavors that he has intended you to be. This text talks, and if you go back, and you will this week in a Lifestyle 7, it talks about Jesus meeting the woman at the well. Now, Jesus was originally in Judea, which was south of Samaria. He was on his way to Galilee, which was north of Judea. And for me, this past week, I got out the maps and I looked at it all, because in order for the hardcore, staunch Jews to pass from one province to the other, for them to go from Judea to Galilee, they had to go through Samaria. So what's the big deal about Samaria? Samaria is that land, or was that land, where, I'll say this as kind as I can, the polluted Jews lived. Now, we read this, and the woman at the well says to Jesus, how can you as a Jew talk to me as a Samaritan? That did not indicate that she was not a part of one of the 12 tribes. She was a part of a group of people that were taken into captivity, and while they were in captivity, they were polluted with other idols, other gods, other forms of worship. And so as they came back to Samaria, as they dwelt in Samaria, they were a people who intermingled the gospel with all of these other polluted doctrines, other gods, and so they worshiped all these things. That's why Jesus, at the end of the story, she says, there's a prophet coming to us to talk to us. And if she wasn't aware that God had promised the Messiah, she would have been a barbarian. But she was aware. It was just, there was a polluted nature within the Samaritan culture. But as you read through the Gospels, as you read through the life of Jesus, you will find that much of his ministry took place in the middle ground. This is what I got this week. This was my nugget. This was my exciting thing. And I took this spiritually. We are here in Judea. Now, obviously not actual Judea, but we are promised heaven. Now, Galilee in the sense. But we are passing through this world in which Scripture calls us aliens and foreigners and strangers. It brought to me a whole new meaning. While I'm here, while I'm trapped between eternal life given to me freely by the blood of Christ and my heavenly home, while I'm passing through, I need to be about the business of ministering to the Samaritans. Now that changed my perspective of the lost. Because God has chosen that none should perish, but that all should have the everlasting life. That means it doesn't matter how hardcore or how out to lunch they may seem to be, Jesus loves them, and he calls us to love them and minister to them. I love the picture here. This, go back to that other picture. That picture, I picked this one specifically because this woman at this well, and it would indicate that Jesus has his back to us, and it would like, what? I get that expression when Jesus went to her and asked her for a drink of water, and she said, wait a minute. I'm a Samaritan, and Jews don't ask Samaritans for anything. And Jesus said, I'm thirsty. Could you get me a drink of water? And I believe that she drew from him out of that well a drink of water. Now, because of the location and because of the place and because of the culture of that day, for me, it was almost like reminiscent of the early 1900s in the United States when there was black and white drinking fountains, black and white restrooms. I was reminded as I thought about this of the movie that was just recently out called Hidden Figures, when the African-American ladies broke into NASA and really brought this huge, huge advantage to them by who they were and just what they did. But I was reminded that if you were a Samaritan, it was almost like, that's your well, this is mine. Now, we know there was one well there, but it was almost, this would be more accurate. Those are your utensils. That's your bucket to draw from. These are ours. Now, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, would you draw me a drink of water? Would you? And she was like, okay. And then on this next slide, she immediately, at that moment, became transparent. She became transparent to him. And she was, what you see is what you get. She automatically blurted out to him, I'm a Samaritan. Now, we are tracking the life, the ministry, and the mission of Jesus and how we should be about this. The very first thing, when Jesus stopped at the well, when he stopped there, he intentionally created relationship. We get to this point, he is intentionally allowing her to understand who she is in his presence. Now we get that. Those of us who know Jesus Christ understand that we recognize that we are nothing but sinners saved by grace. There is nothing good in us outside of him. There is nothing about this flesh that contains any value to the ministry, to the mission, to the directive that he has for us. It's only as he lives through us. And this woman automatically knew, I'm not a Jew, I'm not pure, I am not as what the Pharisees would call undefiled. There is a mixture here, not only with the religious mixture, but as they were in captivity, they married men and women from other cultures and other nations, which meant that they were not pure 100% Jews anymore, and so they were tainted, and she just blurted it out. I am amazed at when people find out I'm a pastor, how quickly they tell me exactly this, what you see is what you get. One of my best friends in Ohio never came to a church service. He never came to a church service, but he'd come to my house once a week, and we'd go out and hang out in the garage and work on, working on an old car at that time, and we would talk, and he would say things like, if I ever came to church, that roof would fall in. And then he would go on to tell me why. Now, I never put my finger on what he was doing. I never said, you need to stop this. I never did that. But in the presence of God, at the very end of the age, Scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And I believe that has been your experience and mine, that even in this world, when they experience the true light of Jesus Christ, transparency, it just comes right out. Oh, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe. I'm not. And that's what this woman did. Jesus built a relationship with her. She became transparent with him. And then he offered her a gift. You see, he didn't hold her life against her. He didn't go back and say, oh yeah, well, we need to get you purified before. He offered her at that very moment a drink of water, everlasting water. This next slide, I like this. This is a spring, and it actually is an actual picture from the Danakil Desert in Ethiopia. And what this is, it's almost like a geyser where the water boils up from the ground. The spring pushes the water up from the ground. And as it pushes it up, the residue, the minerals, the things within that water have been, they build up. And so if you could actually pull back on this picture, and I may even encourage you, again, it's spelled Danakil, desert in Ethiopia. You can go on and see massive fields where this has been built up. I believe that the water of Jesus, the eternal water that he offered to this woman, does not leave us unchanged. As the water springs forth, as it comes forth, it will leave its mark on you. In Canada, we had these things. When I first moved there, I mistakenly Googled the town that I lived in, and I asked them how good the fishing was in the lake right behind the town. And they just like, there's no lake here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at Google Earth. There's ice on the lake right now, but it's right behind the town. And they're like, no, that is a slough. A slough is a stagnant pool of water that leaches up from underneath, but the salt content is called alkali. So if you ever fly over even some of the northern parts of the United States, in the Dakotas and that, you can see alkali where the salt content in the earth leaches up and it turns all of the ground white. They're like, no, that's not snow, that's not ice, that's alkali. That is the salt content coming up. The cows won't even drink it. It's, you know, when I was there, I thought, oh my goodness, you could become a billionaire if you could figure out how to turn all of these thousands and thousands of sloughs that were salt water, unusable, if you could turn it into fresh water. But then I thought, just this week, about that residue and how as Jesus pours the water of life into us, and he continues to pour so that our cup not only fills and overflows, but it leaves a residue, it leaves a mark. Church, that is your mission, to leave a mark, to let that God content build up all around you, to leave a legacy, which I've been talking about, not of me, but a legacy of him. When I look at this, my focus doesn't go to the water. My focus goes to what has been created by the water flowing through. Can you imagine as God continues to grow us as a congregation, as we continue to spread out, as we continue to leach out and allow that God water, that eternal water, to pour through us and leave a mark, leave a buildup, leave a mark wherever it goes. Can you imagine up here on this hill? Can you imagine visually? I'm such a visual person. To see something like that spiritually inching its way towards city center. I'm not talking about an actual catastrophe that wipes out. I'm talking about Jesus, the mark, the flow of Jesus impacting and affecting the world around us. That's who I want to be as a church. That's the congregation I want to pastor. That we are we have a purpose. And everywhere we go, we are intentional about leaving a mark. Here's just a clue. Some of you are going, how do I start a God conversation with somebody? How do I talk to my coworkers? Can I just walk up to them and say, do you know Jesus? well, if I did that to Sheryl Lee, the big smile tells me yes. But am I going to do that to my coworker? Jesus didn't do that in this text. He didn't walk up to the woman and go, "Do you know that I'm the water of life that springs up from eternal wells?" He went up to her. Now, this was amazing. He went up to her and said, "Could you help me?" Now, think about that in the culture that we live as being servant leaders. And we are called to serve the world around us. But in this case, Jesus approaches her and says, "Could you get me a drink? Could you do something for me?" Now think about it. That approach could change the entire way you do personal evangelism. I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm just saying that would be an open door for you. Think clear back. Some of you who've been married for a while, think clear back to when you first spotted that person that you're now married to. You go up to them and you go something like, "Would you give me your number?" You see, you're not going up to them saying, "Hey, here's my number." You are asking them a question. Would you commit, even for a small portion, to a relationship, a connection, a friendship with me? Would you give me something? Would you get me a drink of water? And I'm not talking about taking advantage of the world around you. I'm just talking about the icebreaker that will allow you to be Jesus, to be salt, to be light in the community, in the circle, in the workplace in which you spend so much time. God will give you opportunity to allow that water that pours eternal to spring up. After he said, I'm he. I'm the prophet. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you've been taught about. Then he said this, "Go. Go." Too often, I've been guilty, we've been guilty, of somebody accepting and coming to Christ, embracing the good news, and then we say, "Sit down. Let me teach you how to be just like me. Let me show you how it's to be done." Jesus gave this woman a drink of eternal life, and he said, "Now go and tell the man you're living with." "Yeah, he's not my husband." "Well, I know, I know. As a matter of fact, you've had multiple husbands." "You are a prophet." Well, our life story says a lot about us. And the people around us know a lot more about our story than what we think they do. The way we live, the way we shine, the way we flavor, all of the things around us tells the story. Jesus said to the woman, "Go back to your people. Go back to your people." She did. She went to her people. And she brought them back to him. Now, let me tell you something. She had such an impact on her community that they followed her. I don't believe that even in Samaria, she was a woman of good reputation. I mean, no matter what class you live in, there are always uppers and lowers. There are always people you look down on, and I'm not saying that you should. I'm just talking human here. But I believe even in Samaria, she was not a woman with a good reputation. I believe that the ladies, she can't even keep a man. But she went back to her people after exposing herself and embracing the presence and the relationship of Jesus Christ with such an impact that they followed her back. And scripture goes on that you'll read this week to say, not only, they begin to say, not only do we believe what she said, Now it's verified. Now it's verified. There's a couple different kinds of people that I've noticed over the years. People who like to tell me who they are. And people who other people tell me who they are. Most all of my mentors, the greats, the people that I have looked up to all of my life, they never stand up and say, I am so amazing. I am so great. As Pastor Jim Lyon would, you know, I would never stand up here and say, I am the brightest and the best. That's one of his taglines. But I tell you, as I use my gifts, as you use your gifts, there will be nothing better than to overhear somebody say about you. You can believe what they say. If you need prayer, that's who you go to. If you need a shoulder to cry on, somebody just to hold your hand and to grieve with you, that is a person. That person gives. That person is who they say they are. Now think about that. If that is being said about you, wow. Wow. This woman went back to town, to her town, and said, you have to come and see this man. Revival broke. People came. More disciples gathered, believed the truth, converted. If you follow the map and you look at the journeys of Jesus and you begin to isolate some of those, even clear back to John the Baptist, you see that there was an amazing work of God happen in the land of Samaria. You'll see that. That is the kind of work that I believe can happen in our world today, in this intersection between embracing Jesus and living in our eternal home. Jesus wants to make a mark, but in order to do that, you have to go. You have to go. In this last slide, as we're preparing to end our service today, or this portion, I'm going to read that bottom. You see the lowercase words under. I'm going to read that bottom. And then I want you together as a congregation in unison to read those. So I'm going to say, when my fear is crippling, you're going to say, you are peace. You are peace. And I'd want you to more than just repeat it. I want you to understand that in these situations, this is who Jesus is. This is what the woman at the well experienced. This is why she changed her culture. This is what made an impact. Repeat. When my fear is crippling, you are my peace. You are peace. Even in my wandering, you are true. You are true. You're the reason that I sing. You are joy. You are joy. In you, death has lost its sting. You are life. You are life. Forever rain. Think about this. The water that Jesus gave this woman at the well was forever. It was forever. Pastor Dan, would you come and lead us? Would you come and help us to remember that the love of Christ is forever. It's eternal. It's not ending.